I have a brother-in-law who is a general manager of a car dealership, and they have a number of stores, and I get my cars from him, and it's always an exciting time because he gives me the car, but he'll also hand me the owner's manual. And I love the owner's manual for a new car. I mean, it looks really nice. It's embossed with the symbol of Chrysler right on the thing, so you know who created this project, this little product. And you know, if I want to really make my car work to the best of its ability for the longest life, I'll read what's in there. Just wonderful. My brother-in-law smiles when he hands it to him. I smile it when I receive it because of one section. Under fuel, if you look there, it says in the gas tank, only put gasoline in the gas tank. And I'm thinking, why do they have this there? Has someone tried to do something else? I looked further and found oil, how to change the oil, what to do, how often, all of that. And so much the same thing. And I began to think to myself, did somebody somewhere along the line, receiving a new product like this and seeing this is the owner's manual, this is how you keep it going, decide, you know, gasoline is pretty expensive. I think I'll just use some water because I live on a well. It's a lot cheaper. And the oil, that's expensive too. So I'm just going to strain it. I'm not going to change it. I'm going to reuse it. Great idea, but what would you call someone who did that? Well, whatever you would call them, I'd call them a pedestrian. Because they're going to be walking pretty soon. Well, so it is with us. I mean, who created us? God. And he put his seal on it. It belongs to God. We're in his image and likeness. We're further sealed and solidified in baptism, and then further sealed and strengthened with the gift of the Holy Spirit. We're sacred to God. Now, to make the best and the most of it, to live that life that he would have us live, that it would go through to the end, he's given us, in a sense, a manual, an owner's manual, how to operate. And that scripture and tradition and the teaching authority of the church. Do this, what does it lead to? Salvation. Do this not, what does it lead to? Damnation. So, do we wish to live? So, the idea, though, here in our Lent, is Father Shearer and Father Farrell and I are considering the Ten Commandments, the commandments that lead to life. Remember when Moses gave them to the people, he challenged them, what is set before you is life and death. Choose life. And that's, if we love the Lord, we keep his commandments, and how beautiful that really and truly is. So today we come now to the consideration of the sixth and the ninth commandments. You know them. The sixth commandment, you shall not commit adultery. The ninth commandment, you shall not covet your neighbor's wife. Or as our Lord said so beautifully, when he said, you have heard it said to you, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you, everyone who looks with lust in his heart has already committed this sin. So our Lord is very interested in us being pure and perfect outside and inside. So he points out the reality. Sin is not just in action, but it's also in intention. So what I would ask you to do or plead with you this week, please go home. Open up your catechism and reflect on what the church teaches with regard to these two great commandments, with regard to that purity and that holiness. But what I would like to do this morning, this afternoon, is really place these two commandments in a particular context. And that's the context of our universal vocation, the one that is common to each and every one of us. We have our particular vocations, and they differ. But a common vocation for us, the common vocation of all of humanity, is to love. And that love finds its fullest expression in God's love for us, so that we keep our eyes fixed on the cross of Jesus Christ. Because there is the reflection of God's self-sacrificial love, that gift of himself that we are called to emulate. Now, the beauty of this great love is also pointed to in the sixth beatitude. Blessed are the pure of heart, for they shall see God. And that's the desire that we have, to see God, not just looking at him from a distance, but seeing him, being immersed in him, being transformed by him. And that is what we are called to do in the world today. Very beautifully, the church has written in the Second Vatican Council, it's the pastoral constitution on the church in the modern world, Gaudium et Spes, and has a very beautiful context that situates us very nicely. The church writes, "The world of today reveals itself as at once powerful and weak, capable of achieving the best or the worst. There lies open before it the way to freedom or slavery, progress or regression, brotherhood or hatred. In addition, man is becoming aware that it is for himself to give the right direction to the forces that he has himself awakened, forces that can be his master or his servant. He therefore puts questions to himself. The tensions disturbing the world of today are, in fact, related to a more fundamental tension rooted in the human heart. Many things compete for his attention, but he is always compelled to make a choice among them and to renounce some. What is more, in his weakness and sinfulness, he often does what he does not want to do and fails to do what he would like to do. The church believes that Christ died and rose for all and can give man light and strength through his spirit to fulfill his highest calling. His is the only name under heaven in which men can be saved. So too the church believes that the center and goal of all human history is found in her Lord and Master. The church also affirms that underlying all changes, there are many things that do not change. They have their ultimate foundation in Christ, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. To be rooted in Christ, to be rooted in truth. It is in this context that these two commandments call us to a purity of heart that may not only see God in this life and in the next, but may show forth the holiness and purity of God to the world." The Catholic Catechism, the Catholic Church here, defines pure in heart. It says that this expression refers to those who have attuned their intellects and their wills to the demands of God's holiness, chiefly in three areas: in charity, in chastity or integrity of life, and in love of truth and orthodoxy of faith. The Catechism continues, "There is a connection between purity of heart, purity of body, and purity of faith. St. Augustine it was who said, 'The faithful must believe the articles of the creed, so that by believing they may obey God. By obeying they may live well. By living well, they may purify their hearts, and with pure hearts may understand what they believe. The pure in heart are promised that they will see God face to face and be like him. Purity of heart is the precondition of the vision of God. Even now it enables us to see according to God, to accept others as neighbors. It lets us perceive the human body, ours and our neighbors, as a temple of the Holy Spirit, a manifestation of divine beauty." We are called then, my brothers and sisters, to witness to this truth. These commandments are laid upon us that we might reflect the purity and the holiness of God himself. It is never easy, but it must be strengthened by prayer daily and sacrament. It is the strength of grace that will transform us, and in transforming us and purifying our hearts, that we might see God, that the world might see him too in the lives that we live. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God.